Chapter 7. The Ancestry of Man. First, man descended from a walking ape. Second, first traces of man-like creatures. Third, the Heidelberg sub-man. Fourth, the Piltdown sub-man. Fifth, the riddle of the Piltdown remains. First, the origin of man is still very obscure. It's commonly asserted that he is descended from some man-like ape, such as the chimpanzee, the orangutan, or the gorilla. But that, of course, is as reasonable as saying that I'm descended from some Hottentot or Eskimo, as young or younger than myself. Others, alive to this objection, say that man is descended from the common ancestor of the chimpanzee, the orangutan, and the gorilla. Some anthropologists have even indulged in a speculation whether mankind may not have a double or treble origin. The Negro, being descended from a gorilla-like ancestor, the Chinese from a chimpanzee-like ancestor, and so on. These are very fanciful ideas, to be mentioned only to be dismissed. It was formerly assumed that the human ancestor was probably arboreal, but the current idea among those who are qualified to form an opinion seems to be that he was a ground ape, and that the existing apes have developed in the arboreal direction. Of course, if one puts the skeleton of a man and the skeleton of a gorilla side by side, their general resemblance is so great that it's easy to jump to the conclusion that the former is derived from such a type as the latter by a process of brain growth and general refinement. But if one examines closely into one or two differences, the gap widens. Particular stress has recently been made on the tread of the foot. Man walks on his toe and his heel. His great toe is his chief lever in walking, as the reader may see for himself if he examines his own footprints on the bathroom floor, and notes where the pressure falls as the footprints become fainter. His great toe is the king of his toes. Among all the apes and monkeys, the only group that have their great toes developed on anything like the same fashion as man are some of the lemurs. The baboon walks on a flat foot, and all his toes, using his middle toe as his chief throw-off, much as the bear does. And the three great apes all walk on the outer side of the foot in a very different manner from the walking of man. The great apes are forest dwellers. Their walking, even now, is incidental. They're at their happiest among trees. They have very distinctive methods of climbing. They swing by the arms much more than the monkeys do, and don't, like the latter, take off with a spring from the feet. They have a specially developed climbing style of their own. But man walks so well and runs so swiftly as to suggest a very long ancestry upon the ground. Also, he doesn't climb well now. He climbs with caution and hesitation. His ancestors may have been running creatures for long ages. Moreover, it's to be noted that he doesn't swim naturally. He has to learn to swim, and that seems to point to a long-standing separation from rivers and lakes and the sea. Almost certainly that ancestor was a smaller and slighter creature than its human descendants. Conceivably, the human ancestor at the opening of the Cainozoic period was a running ape living chiefly on the ground, hiding among rocks rather than trees. It could still climb trees well and hold things between its great toe and its second toe, as the Japanese can to this day, but it was already coming down to the ground again from a still remoter, a Mesozoic, arboreal ancestry. It's quite understandable that such a creature would very rarely die in water in such circumstances as to leave bones to become fossilized. It must also be borne in mind that among its many other imperfections, the geological record necessarily contains abundant traces only of water or marsh creatures, or of creatures easily and frequently drowned. The same reasons that make any traces of the ancestors of the mammals rare and relatively unprocurable in the Mesozoic rocks probably make the traces of possible human ancestors rare and relatively unprocurable in the Cainozoic rocks. Such knowledge as we have of the earliest men, for example, is almost entirely got from a few caves into which they went and in which they left their traces. Until the hard Pleistocene times, they lived and died in the open, and their bodies were consumed or decayed altogether. But it's well to bear in mind also that the record of the rocks has still to be thoroughly examined. It's been studied only for a few generations, and by only a few men in each generation. Most men have been too busy making war, making profits out of their neighbours, toiling at work that machinery could do for them in a tenth of the time, or simply playing about, to give any attention to these more interesting things. There may be, there probably are, thousands of deposits, still untouched, containing countless fragments and vestiges of man and his progenitors, in Asia particularly. In India, or the East Indies, there may be hidden the most illuminating clues. What we know today of early men is the merest scrap of what will presently be known. The apes and monkeys already appear to have been differentiated at the beginning of the Cainozoic Age, and there are a number of Oligocene and Miocene apes whose relations to one another and to the human line have still to be made out. Among these we may mention Dryopithecus of the Miocene Age, with a very human-looking jaw. In the Siwalik Hills of northern India, remains of some very interesting apes have been found, of which Cevapithecus and Paleopithecus were possibly related closely to the human ancestor. Possibly these animals already used implements. Charles Darwin represents baboons as opening nuts by breaking them with stones, using stakes to prise up rocks in the hunt for insects, and striking blows with sticks and stones. The chimpanzee makes itself a sort of tree hut by intertwining branches. Stones, apparently chipped for use, have been found in strata of the Oligocene Age at Moselle in Belgium. Possibly the implement-using disposition was already present in the Mesozoic ancestry from which we are descended. Second, among the earliest evidences of some creature, either human or at least more man-like than any living ape upon earth, are a number of flints and stones, very roughly chipped and shaped, so as to be held in the hand. These were probably used as hand axes. These early implements, eoliths, are often so crude and simple that there was, for a long time, a controversy whether they were to be regarded as natural or artificial productions. The date of the earliest of them is put by geologists as Pliocene, that is to say, before the first glacial age. They occur also throughout the first interglacial period. We know of no bones or other remains in Europe or America of the quasi-human beings of half a million years ago who made and used these implements. They used them to hammer with, perhaps they used them to fight with, and perhaps they used bits of wood for similar purposes.